Right.
Well, good. Welcome again. This is going to be a little bit participatory in a couple of different ways, so just get ready for that. But by way of introduction, anybody here heard of Amelia Bedell?
Yes.
Anyone out there? Not one or two of you have? Amelia Bedell. She did everything according to the letter, what she was told to do. It's sort of based on a story from Africa, actually, from Cameroon, and this comical eras following instructions from English to someone who's not used to English. But anyway, when her employer asked her to dress the chicken, she sews a tiny pair of overalls and fits them onto the bird. When she's told to put out the lights, she unscrews all the bulbs from their fixtures and hangs them on the backyard clothesline. She did everything according, and they are kind of like idioms. And today we're going to be thinking about idioms. And this is sort of continuing in our little story or series, really, that we're doing at the moment, on following in the dust of our Rabbi Yeshua. So we're looking at idioms in the scriptures, but first of all, I want us to think, and this is korero mai, this is coming back to me as well, some idioms from our own Kiwi culture, like flash. That's a flash camera. There's a bit of a wordplay there, but that's a flash camera. What does flash mean? What are we really saying? What's that? Fancy? Fancy? It's a flash. Fancy camera. Very good. Sweet ass.
All good.
All good? Sweet ass. No worries? That's pretty Australian, but I think it's crept into our Kiwi culture. No worries, mate. Everything's okay? Awesome! What does that one mean?
It means it's raining.
Awesome! Like, it's awesome, whatever it is. I mean, I've heard some amazing things given awesome, and I'm thinking it is. I don't know, but... oh, stink! Anyone heard of that one?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Something's bad.
Something's bad, yeah. Hacked off? Bit upset? Wicked! There's an old-fashioned idea of wicked, but wicked was awesome. There you go. It means awesome. Get off the grass. That's an oldie. Get off the grass. What does that one mean?
Wake up to an idea.
Wake up to an idea. Okay.
Stopping the farmer.
What about half pie?
Not done properly.
Pack a sad.
Salt.
Yeah, salt. There you go. Go on a tiki tour. The long way round. Yeah. 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 I was talking on the phone with someone yesterday, and every now and again in the conversation there was yeah, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, no. That's a Kiwi one, isn't it? Yeah, no. What does that mean? Yeah, no. I mean,
it means no.
You think it means no?
It means you agree.
Well, it could mean yes and it could be no, right?
Maybe.
I think it's an exclamation mark, actually. I think it's an exclamation mark. That's probably what it is. Can anybody think of any others that we've got in our culture?
Build a bridge.
What's that?
Build a bridge.
Build a bridge?
No, just get a wood
pole. Get over it. Okay. I thought get over it meant just get over it. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
Eat your heart out.
Eat your heart out, there you go. Whoa, that brings our things to mind if English is your third language.
Good as gold.
Good as gold.
Yeah. Cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase.
I hate that one.
Get to the point. Yeah, anything else?
Suck it up.
Suck it up. Yeah, cowboy up, man up, woman up, suck it up. Yes. Anything else?
My kitty aunt, because I remember when Steph arrived, she used to pull us up on our idioms, wanted to know what they all meant.
Yeah. Quite right. What are some German ones, Steph? Oh, yeah.
Put me on the spot.
Put me on the spot. Brilliant, Keith. Absolutely. Put me on the spot. You've got it.
You've got it.
Don't worry. It's quite all right. I'll talk to you later about it. So look, our language and our culture is full of sayings, isn't it? And you know, when we read the Bible, we've got to understand that that's also full of idioms and sayings. And the challenge for us is to actually know what they mean. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we just struggle to get it, don't we? Because it's idiomatic and it's hard to grab hold of. Here's a few from the ancient Hebrew idioms. Let's get some, shall we? What about seed? Seed. Is it talking about the stuff you plant in the ground? Seed, it's talking about descendants. Possess the gates. Capture cities. Lift up your head. Yeah, restore to honor. Loins. You've read that, I know. Loins. What is that about in the scriptures?
Fertility.
Fertility? Yeah. Descendants? Kind of related. Flowing with milk and honey.
In your grass and your flowers.
Yeah. That's very fertile. It's flourishing. Yeah. House of bondage. What was that?
Slavery.
Slavery. There you go. You're onto that. Heart. Mm. What about the heart?
Center of emotions.
Center of emotions. Actually, for Hebrew, it's mind. But it probably includes that. Slack hands. Idle. Abandoning something. Yeah. Sons of the prophets. Literally, is that what it means? Sons of the prophets? It means a group of prophets. Look, there's a lot of them. I won't go through them all, but just one or two other. Stiff-necked people.
Stubborn.
Stubborn. Yeah, there you go. Open hand. Generous. Son of man.
Jesus.
We automatically go there, but it actually means other humans. Other humans. Clean hands. That's easy. Clean hands. Acts purely. Purity, yeah. Son of wickedness. Don't name anybody in the room, please. Son of wickedness. It means wicked people. Good eye. Well, that's just a little segue for me, because that's what I want to talk about this morning, is about a good eye and a bad eye. So let's go there, shall we? This is from Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What on earth does that mean? Because sometimes we read these, you know, particularly on the wonderful and great Sermon on the Mount, and we sort of say, well, what does that really mean? The answer really is to think about Jesus as a rabbi. And Jesus was Jewish, which is a surprise to many, but Jewish. A Jewish rabbi. And he would have followed all the customs of his day. So the Hebrew language uses I in a lot of different ways. And we're going to look at one of them this morning. Good eye versus bad eye. To have a good eye means to look out for the needs of others. And to have a bad eye is to be greedy or self-centered, blind to the needs of those around us. So in Matthew 20, the story of the farmer who hired day workers, you remember that story. What happened was that people came, he hired these people at the beginning of the day and promised them a certain amount of money. And then through the day, there were other day workers, and he hired them, and right up till the very end of the day, before, I think an hour before they finished. So some people had been working for 11 hours and one working for 1 hour, and he gave them all the same money, same wages. And this caused an uproar. That wasn't fair, which is a Kiwi way of thinking. It's not fair. But everybody agreed to work for that amount of money. So he says in verse 15, "Is it not allowable for me to do what I wish with the things that are mine, or do you look with a jealous eye?" The Hebrew word there is ayin horo, which is my goodness. That's from the Orthodox Jewish Bible. And also I want to read a couple more from that Orthodox Jewish Bible. This is from Proverbs 28. "He that hasteth to be rich has a ra ayin, and considereth not that want shall come upon him." In the Passion Translation, it reads like this: "A greedy man is in a race to get rich, but he forgets that he could lose what's most important and end up with nothing." And then this is also from Proverbs: "He that has a tov ayin, or ayin, generous eye, shall have plenty, but he that has another kind of eye will have want." So, a good eye. Hebrew speaks in this kind of thing. So seeing, you know, with a good eye means generous. Seeing with a bad eye means stingy. That's what it means. So, God has a very good eye. The Lord will provide. Literally, the Lord will see. He has this good eye toward us. Isn't that incredible? This is a quote from a Jewish rabbi: "Miserliness shuts a man off from his fellow men and from humanity itself. And if you look through a glass window, you see the world. But if you cover one side with silver, it becomes a mirror and you see only yourself." I found that pretty profound. You know, when we look and we see clearly, we can see what's there, our world in need. You know, Jim, as you prayed this morning about this valley and the need of people, that's seeing with a good eye. To be in the valley and not see that need is to see with a bad eye. So, if you're generous, your whole life will show it, and if you're selfish, it will infect your very soul. So, wow. So how could you worship two gods? I better read the whole scripture, shall I, from Matthew 6. "Don't keep hoarding for yourself earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will also always pursue what you value as your treasure." And verse 22 that we started reading: "The eyes of your spirit will allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will be the darkness within you if the light of truth cannot enter." And verse 24: "How could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate one and love the other, or to be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money." So this passage from Matthew 6, what do you think the context is talking about in that passage? Not difficult, there's no points for getting it wrong.
A single-mindedness towards God.
Single-mindedness? It's talking about money. Treasures in heaven. It's talking about wealth. It's talking about this whole thing about money. You can't worship God and money. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a little group set up here where we're going to split you up into groups. If you don't go to somebody that you don't get on with, we'll help you. But we're going to look at that passage together. And I say groups of about four or so. And there's a couple of questions there to answer. And these are the questions. Discuss what the heavenly treasures are. What does this mean in the light of our theme of gaining a good eye? Because it's really talking about having a good eye and heavenly treasures. And what is the light within all about? Are tough questions? And then when you've done a little bit of that, we'll have a look at Acts 2 if we can, because it's in the same kind of thinking. So who wants to be the group leader? We've got any pencils around? You can do it from memory. Do it from memory if you can't. Groups of about four, that work? Please do that. And don't be shy, that means you've got to, all those people in the back cheap seats have got to get up and move and come and join these folk here. Do that. You can't move your chairs or stand around. Only just a few minutes, you know, you might be a warning.
The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is your money, your whole body will be full of life.
You should join our group, you know the answers, don't you?
Look, I don't, so that's why I need to get with a group that actually knows what they're on about, so that I can...
Well, you better go find another one then.
Okay, I'll be invited to join this group.
What does it mean in the light of the game? The eye, Because we're not here randomly, are we? So we've got a purpose.
Sure, it's not going to be money, right?
No, so those immaterial things that you can't buy, like
relationships and relationships.
Enables us to live in, to live out these things. It's not by our own strength that it happens.
Because we look through our human perception of this Nathan.
I would suggest that something.
You are a distractor.
A couple of minutes.
needs to be busy. Are we still playing? That's pretty clever. You're a fruit couch, like a
Just a shoot.
Have you been to some of those places? I'm the umpire.
This is my role. Very easy
to You're a very good spokesperson.
Okay, everyone, if we could just gather thoughts together and your spokesperson be just to share a little summary of what you came up with, and it may not all would be the same, that's for sure, when you look at a passage of scripture like that. But so has everybody got something ready to go? I think I'll start with the group that have got something really awesome to share, and that's that one way up the back there. Yeah, that group up there, big loud voice.
We also talked about it in the context of stewardship, committing all to God, which includes like our time, our character, and our heart. And the light within. Steph, do you want to repeat what you just said again?
She's on the spot again. I can tell.
Earthly treasures being all the resources that we have available, and I guess seeing them with the right perspective through God's eyes, that actually they don't really belong to us. Our money, our time, our wealth, our energy, and so that's the whole stewardship thing. We acknowledge that they actually belong to God, and they're not really ours to hold on to or hold on to anybody else.
Thank you. Excellent. This group.
So one comment, like, what is the light that turns the world out? And what I was going to read is, you can see it at funerals where you see sometimes at weddings, and there's a Christian couple that are married, there's a huge difference. You can see that a real hope and a sense of life there.
In a funeral or a wedding?
Both.
Yeah.
Or even
good, good. And so you were all part of that group? There's another group just thinking around the corner there. Good. Thank you for that. Coming just round the group, this group over here. Glennis, are you the scribe? Jim?
They're all pointing. Oh. Keeps on going around the circle.
Please don't have an argument about that.
There is stuff for it. I didn't write it. Anyway, no, it's opening your heart up to allowing God's understanding to come in. Holy Spirit bring the light in their lives, and as we expose ourselves to taking into our minds, as George was saying about what we read and put in, and as we put God, things of God into our hearts, and that is the idea that it will begin to change the way we actually see and gain a good eye. We're talking about people who see things glass half full and glass half empty, and probably and there's a lot of people who can only see things from a very negative point of view, but then we have others we see them, I've got this and I'll share it, you know, rather than what I haven't got. And God wants us to look on what we've got and how we can share it rather than what we haven't got.
Another one we had was a group eye, that we can actually sort of complement each other with our vision. Like Ethan gave the analogy of looking at houses, which you guys have got pretty experienced about.
You can have
one or two people look at it and miss things, and more coming back, and you see a different picture and a different vision of what would be possible.
True.
Like that with us too, that we need each other to have God's vision.
Excellent. I saw a camper van with a little sign on about the glass. Some people see the glass half empty, and the response is, the first half was delicious.
Yeah.
I like that. Very good. This group. Who's?
We discussed a few different aspects of it, but this thing about an eye, you know, if we're not seeing correctly, we're not taking in things very accurately, and in terms of training our eye to be focused on something, and Peter did a great job of bringing that point out. You're actually looking for, in that case, deer, so you're disregarding anything else, it's just that's the kind of thing you're looking for. So a good eye talks about understanding and getting the right understanding and the good things forming in the heart. So it's getting God's truth in there, and then it's ultimately an expression of who God is, his nature. So what comes out is either an expression of selfishness when the focus is on us, or good eye is actually that has allowed the nature and the truth of God to come in and that shine.
Good. Well done. And that's the script.
We looked at heavenly treasures. We just saw it as gaining the character qualities of God, peace, joy, and love, which then, in the light of insight, is the light within is the light of insight, allowing us to see things from God's perspective, the light of truth, his truth, which gives us freedom then to see more clearly others' needs and challenges. And we discussed the acts and said they found something freeing and being able to share everything with others, seeing others' needs and challenges as you do as a smaller community. And it was attractive to other people and brought them to join them because the world's become very individualistic. Mm-hmm. Church can be just strangers coming and going without touching each other.
Excellent. A lot of good stuff there. Wow. Thank you. And this profound group here.
I think everyone else has shared very well. I guess similar to what the first groups you're talking about, stewardship, is just trusting that God will provide our daily needs and knowing that, you know, actually they're His, and they're not just for us, and expecting that God will kind of provide but also give us an abundance as well, in ways that we often don't understand or, you know, that might happen. Having a deeper understanding of God and His purposes for our lives and the lives of others, and not looking through it with our earthly eyes, but through the Holy Spirit's eyes, guiding us in the right rhythm. Before we got there.
Look, thank you everyone for those insights. I'm just sharing with one of the groups that a Roman Catholic friend of mine in a small town, only been there a few months as the priest, and I asked him how he viewed what he was seeing, how he looked at the town. And he said, yes, I can do that. He said, it's like being in a room and all the windows are facing inward. And I thought that was extremely profound. And I could think of one or two places, villages and towns that can be like that, and individuals that can be like that, where everything is coming back toward us. It's to do with us, when it's really to do with us. And having a good eye is being having a generous heart disposition with all our resources toward others. And having a bad eye is just being downright stingy. So it's some good insight. Did you find that helpful? So when we look at some of the idioms in Scripture, go just a little bit deeper. Do some research if you can about some of the Hebrew thinking behind it. Because pretty well everything that you read of that's sort of idiomatic has richness behind it. Because of that Hebrew language particularly only has 8,000 words in its vocabulary, and we have something like 400 plus or whatever. So each one of those words is packed full of good things. And I think that's God's intention to communicate through that language in an amazing way. But with English superimposed over it, it can be a little shallow. So dig deep. That's my word for the year. Just go deeper. So thank you for participating. Got one little thing, and then we can just hang out together and eat and enjoy one another's company. This is sort of a start service. The reality is all kinds of things have started in the life of the church already. We know that. But one of the things I wanted to touch base was about our small group life. And the session asked me to put together some guidelines about our small groups that I want to give to each one who's leading it particularly. I think it'd be helpful stuff. And we've been able to get it with permission, and I've adjusted it. So we're going to give you one of those. I'm still a bit of a work in progress. But I want to just share with you. A lot of you are part of a small group, but I crunched the numbers, and I don't want to shock you in any way, but 33% of those who are eligible in our constituency as a church, our parish, although that term I discovered is no longer in Presbyterian speak. gathered community is in. But in our parish, the reality is there's only 33% who are part of a small group. And some of you are part of more than one group, of course. So there's a lot of double ups. So here's what I believe happens best in a small group life. Pastoral care happens best. If you're meeting with somebody pretty regularly, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and something goes on, you're going to connect. Even though in a small rural community like this, it's surprising what falls through the cracks, you know, about people's lives and things that happen quickly and we don't know about. And just on that note, I just want to let you know that Bob, 2 hours after coming out of recovery, was on the floor walking, did 2.5 meters, and they're just absolutely amazed at how fit he is for an 87-year young person. 86, I'm sorry. And Jimmy Duncan is in Invercargill in recovery, and he's just like Jimmy Duncan is. You know, he's wordy, likes to tell a lot of stories, but he's just enjoying himself. He's cornered some people, and he's, you know, talking them to death, and he's just happy with life. Jeff Ray is a bit challenged pain-wise. Please keep him in your prayers if you would do that. Pastoral care happens best in small groups. Life on life happens. You know, I would like to encourage our small group life to not be another church meeting, but to actually meet together and talk about life stuff. Because we all do it, and have the vulnerability to do that. It's got to be a safe place. So one of the things that we encourage in the manual, if you like, is that what's shared in the group stays in the group. Otherwise, you know, a lot of people I've met, and I know, I'm sure Keith in your ministerial life know, so many people have been messed up in small groups because something they've shared has got out, you know. So you've got to work out what's safe to share and what a safe group is. Life on life. Growth in our walk. You know, Sunday morning is kind of a pep talk by the coach. We worship together and then go out into the world and do stuff. There's 53 one another's in the New Testament, and I guarantee you that the majority of them cannot happen on a Sunday morning. It's got to be another context for that to happen. Small group life happens in that way. So it's growth. It's a place to use our gifts and discover our gifts and be open enough to share that. And as I said, we do the one another. So just a couple of things about small groups. Could I encourage you to be part of one or start one? There's enough maturity in this group for every one of you probably to facilitate a small group. And think of your neighbours and anyone else that you might want to be part of. And they can be affinity groups. I know in the past you've had groups around four-wheel drive, all kinds of things. I mean, they don't have to be Bible studies. Yeah, it's about life on life. Bible study is part of it, but it doesn't have to be that entirely. So I'll be knocking on your door in the next little while, seeing how we're doing with small groups, and I'd encourage you to invite people to the group that you're part of. And if you're not part of a group and think, how on earth can I add one more outing to my schedule? Don't add an outing, just volunteer your home to host the group. Then you don't have to go out anywhere. See, I got that one. So that way we can be flexible and move around, and it doesn't have to be on a Thursday night. It can be breakfast on a Saturday morning or something like that. So, any questions or comments about any of that? We haven't got all religious, have we?
I think about what Lena said, that by the small group, the group being the bigger eye, that was really quite
yes.
amazing insight.
That is very good.
As well, because yes. part of the things you always come with your perspective, and to have a home group gives you the corporate eye, the group eye.
Without giving you too much of a theology lesson, Father and Son and Holy Spirit are just not one person, one entity, and three persons. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. You know, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, Silver, and his horse. You know. So we are designed for group life. We really are. We flourish in that. And even when there's stuff that goes wrong, man, is that the place to have friends and confidants and, you know, and a small group that can gather around you and be there as part of that. So let me pray and then we're good to go eating wherever we're going to be doing the barbecues. God, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word. And some of it, Lord, we know is so perplexing to us. But we thank you for the wonder of the people who have worked hard to study the original languages in which your word was given to us, in Hebrew and Greek, and have come up with these helpful things to give our understanding, greater understanding, so we can see with spiritual eyes as well as physical eyes all that's around us. So God, as we think about gaining a good eye today, pray that you'll help us to go from this time together with a good eye, that we will see beyond what we see. And so we thank you for our togetherness. For all those who couldn't be here for all kinds of reasons, we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon them. For those that are not well, those who are in recovery in hospital, or at home, we pray for your healing presence to be with them. And we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Offering?
What?
Any offerings?
Well, the offering. Forever forgetting the offering.
And birthdays?
We'll get an ice cream container for that.
I was going to say, if you get a bigger one, you know, you can pass it down. Anybody had a birthday or celebration that I missed? Who did?
Ross.
Ross?
Oh, yeah. Then.
What kind of celebration?
Yeah, it was a birthday one.
Retirement?
Retirement. I retired and look what happened to me.
You just got retreaded.
Retreaded, yeah, that's a good one. Actually, I don't believe there's any retirement in the scriptures, is there?
No. It's not a Hebrew concept.
It's not a Hebrew concept.
Just change your employer.
Sure. Yeah. So, Ross, are you allowed to tell us how old you are?
Yeah, I am. I can tell you that I'm twice as old as I was when I was half this age.
Smart question, got a smart answer.
Yeah.
Very good. Okie dokie.
Keith always says he's been paid to be good for this long, now he's going to be good for nothing.
Good for nothing, I'll play
like
that one.
Like the rest of you.
Yeah. Yeah, good for nothing. Okay. Wonderful. Well, let's sing the celebration song for Ross.
Celebrating with you, to Jesus be true, God bless you and keep you, celebrating with you.
And Lord, together we pray for your blessing over this offering. We dedicate it to you now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. And we're thankful for lunch together. Now, I don't know how that's going to work, so we'll hand it over to domestic control.
I just want to say that there'll be a barbecue. Please make yourself welcome. Make some cup of tea in the meantime while you wait, or rinse at the end of the bench there. There's a toilet through the door there, and there's a toilet also just past Lynn down a hallway into the bed. So it's two places. I've just shut up the office, but otherwise I think things are pretty child-free around the place. Just watch cupboards. And the toys, if needed, are all underneath the window seat here. And there's a fair swag of them, so just very welcome. Mickey and Jess and Pete and
Where's all the guns for the boys to play with? There's a bird.
In a safe place.
You just watch out for guns.